Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood of the LCMS Office of National Mission, here live in Worldwide KFUO Studios with Reverend Jonathan Fisk and Andy Bates lurking in the background. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Yeah, Andy's told me he's not talking anymore.
It's kind of nice. We could talk about him in front of him, and he reached for the mic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's not talk about Andy. Let's talk about witnessing today. And there's a particular area of witnessing I think is, often overlooked. And when we become more aware of it, it becomes really uncomfortable. And that's witnessing to people who have wandered away from the church.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of reasons why we're kind of reluctant to talk about this in terms of witnessing. When we talk about our inactive members and people who've been away from the church for sometimes decades.
Right. I think a lot of people have family members who grew up with them in church and now aren't anymore.
And, you know, we say, they were baptized. They never actually said, I don't believe in Jesus anymore.
Right, right.
God's faithful to his promises. And those things are all true. And yet at the same time, you know, we hear these things in Scripture that tell us there's a problem here.
Yeah, sure.
And one of those passages is found in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God."
Mm.
And the possibility of falling away from the living God is very real. And yet sometimes as witnesses, we kind of push that aside, partly because we're uncomfortable with the idea, partly because we've been influenced by other Christians
right,
in this area.
Right. Well, it's scary, right? Think about it. And the question, well, what can I do to make sure that doesn't happen? And the answer is, nothing. Jesus has to make sure.
Right. And, what's my role in that?
Right.
Well,
right.
It's be where Jesus has promised to be.
Right, right.
But the people who've cut themselves off from that
right,
are, they're in danger.
Yeah, they're starving.
Yeah. And so when Jesus talks about this in the parable of the lost sheep, he talks about the 100 sheep and one wanders off and a shepherd leaves the 99 in a field. It's not like he's just like, calling out, to a sheep that's just a few yards away, hey,
right,
come back to the fold. It's like going out searching because he knows that this sheep is in grave, grave danger. And there's actually an Old Testament picture of this in Ezekiel 34, where God's talking about his whole nation of Israel as a flock and how it's been scattered and that the shepherds didn't do their job.
Right.
Yeah. And, in fact, they abused the sheep. And this is the wording that he uses. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts.
Golly, right.
So we start thinking about our absent brothers and sisters
right,
as food for wild beasts. That's a very graphic image.
Right, right. And you think about the darkness of the present age. To use another metaphor, I don't want to mix them too much, but Paul talks about the strongholds of Satan, which are arguments and ideas. And that's the danger. It's not that you're child or your friend is not going to live a full, fulfilling life. That's not the threat. The threat is that they're going to be deceived into believing this life is what really matters and so lose eternal life.
Right. And that's that thing in Hebrews 3, that unbelieving heart.
Right.
That's the result of
that. He called it evil, too. That evil, unbelieving heart.
Yeah, evil. Ouch. Ouch. So what do we do? What do we do when we have friends,
right,
family members, people we once worshipped and served with who are no longer present and active in the congregation? We know they haven't gone on to another Lutheran congregation. They're just not in the church anymore. We need to think about them in the same way that we think about people who are not saved.
Right.
Now, we tend not to talk about people as saved and not saved, but rather churched and non-churched.
Sure.
Because we can't look into a person's heart and say, you believe in Jesus or you have faith.
Right.
But we can look at their actions,
right,
their behaviors. And so for people who are not participating in the means of grace, we have to come to the conclusion, this is not good.
Right, yeah, right.
If they've never confessed Jesus, it's not good because they probably are unbelieving. And if they have confessed Jesus, it's not good because they're in grave danger of falling
right,
away. And so so we want to approach them the same way we would anybody else who's away from the church. And that's where our acronym LASSE comes in, at listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. And as we go to people who are, who we call this de-churched, you know, right. they separated from the church, we want to start by listening. We don't want to start with assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
There's various reasons people leave the church.
Lots of them.
Lots of them. Some because they're just, you know, in love with the world.
Right.
They'd rather do worldly things and pleasurable things than, you know, invest their time and energy. And
they're usually not like doctrinal or healthy Christian reasons, but that doesn't mean they're not emotionally powerful or worldly good reasons, strong reasons, I guess I should say.
Right. So one great example from our society today are these traveling sports teams.
Oh, sure.
And is it a bad thing that our children are given the opportunity to excel in a sport in which they're gifted?
Right.
No.
No. Or the parents would want to be with their kids and doing these
travel,
kinds of things.
Travel with them and be supportive. Those are good things. But when they displace the word of God in someone's life, that's a bad thing.
Right.
And that's how subtle it becomes.
Right.
And so it starts as something very simple and good and becomes something very, very bad for the children and their parents. But there's no hostility towards the church. It's just kind of a drifting away. But there are other people who've had bad experiences in the church.
Right.
And there is some hurt, some real deep hurt.
Right.
And so you're not just going to go to someone and just treat them generically.
Yeah. Repent. Come back to church or else.
Right.
That's not going to work.
No.
Yeah.
So we start by listening. You know, what's going on in their lives?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, listening means engaging them.
Yep.
Not just ignoring them, hoping they come back, but actually engaging.
Which gets you to asking questions about?
Asking questions so that we could listen some more.
Right.
And so we get down to, well, what's the real issue here?
Right.
And so the seeking part is actually kind of easy because we already have a relationship with a person. They were once an active member of our church. You know, they may be a friend or a family member. There's already a point of connection. There's already something that we could go to them and say, hey, we have this in common. But the sharing can get pretty dicey.
Yeah, sure.
Because we have to discern based on what we've listened and heard. Is this somebody needs to hear the law?
Right.
Or somebody needs to hear the gospel?
Right. My experience has been, especially thinking of inactives, but when you get to the sharing part, there is usually guilt already there. And whether I'm trying to share good news or bad news, be nice or mean, it really doesn't matter. There's a projected self-justification that comes out. Like they want to defend the behavior that they've had of not coming. So they start giving reasons and excuses. And it's always kind of like, it's fine. I love you. I forgive you. I just would like to see you again, you know, come to church.
Right. And sometimes the starting point in that conversation may be repentance on our part.
Right.
It's like, you know, who is it that God has entrusted the care of these sheep to?
Right. You know, right.
Well, we could point at the pastor and say, oh, pastor even means shepherd. You know, you're the one he's talking about here in Ezekiel 34. But We're called brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family of faith. We do care about one another, and we're called to watch out for one another. So when somebody has wandered away and we've allowed that to happen and allowed it to persist for a long period of time, think of the power of coming to that person in repentance.
Right.
Of saying, I have failed you.
Yeah.
Will you forgive me for just ignoring this?
Yeah.
And not just calling them out for their sin.
Right.
But saying, we've sinned.
Well, kind of doesn't end around on that guilt. It's like they're ready to defend themselves. And now here you are just exposing your vulnerability and honestly being, well, the sinner that you are.
Right. And that's really at the heart of all this is sin.
Right.
And that's that foothold Satan gets in all of us. And so, you know, what's the remedy for that sin? Well, it's Christ's forgiveness.
Right.
So we come seeking forgiveness and extending forgiveness, living in forgiveness. Now we can have that whole conversation framed by Christ's forgiveness. And so we've listened, we've asked, we've sought, we're sharing God's word, and then the invitation. You know, our logical invitation on the surface is, hey, come back to worship.
Right.
But that may not be the best starting point.
Right.
There we have to, again, seek out the Holy Spirit's guidance and wisdom. We've listened to this person. Think about it from their perspective. They've been away for a while, maybe a long while. And that old adage about darkening a church's door.
Right.
There's some truth to that. It's intimidating.
It is. It's a scary place if you've not been there.
So any invitation we extend to a person shouldn't be, hey, come back, but it should be, hey, come with me.
Right.
With me. And try to avoid that person who's going to make that, hey, where have you been?
Yeah.
There's always going to be that somebody in the congregation who means well, but is going to say the very thing that the person's dreading to hear.
Right.
So when you come with them, you have a way of sort of being that buffer. But if you say, hey, come back, that's not much of an invitation.
Right.
Make it personal. Invest yourself. Say, let's do this together. It may not be a worship service. It may be something else first. It may be, you know, we have this new Bible study starting. You know, I think you'd really find us interesting. Let's go together.
But you got things. You got men's groups. You got women's groups. You got Saturday morning kind of breakfast studies.
Right.
Those are places where it's just a little more casual, frankly. And then there's less people, less reverence, and so less threat.
Right. So they ease back in.
Yeah, right.
And then the encourage, the last letter of Lassie is, you know, somebody who's been away from the church really needs that encouragement,
mm-hmm.
you know, that to not just to come back, but encouragement in life. I mean, they've been living away from, you know, Christ and his family of faith. They've been living on their own in this broken world.
Yeah, at the mercy of those vicious animals you were talking
right.
about.
Yeah, as they become more keenly aware of that's where they're at, those words of encouragement are so powerful, and that's the word we have. It's not found anywhere else in the world, and that's one of the reasons we want to see people come back and to being active in the church, being active in the means of grace. It isn't found anywhere else in the world.
Right.
It's not on the golf course. It's not on the boat. It's not out in your deer stand.
Right.
It's only where Christ has promised, where it is. It's in the church.
Yeah. It's not about, we need you to get back so you can be a right person again. You're not good enough where you are. Come get good like we are. It's about all of us are not good enough. And the place to be set free from that, you know, the deer stand you mentioned, the three things there you mentioned, all of those things are good things until the age sets in and the wages of sin starts to creep in on you and you find yourself alone in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Family maybe comes and visits, maybe they don't. But it all passes. It all decays. And why? Well, because there is no life in us. We've rebelled against our Creator. And the answer to that is not to get right with God. The answer is for God to get right with us, for God to forgive us. That only happens in word and sacrament.
Yeah. And we don't want people to discover late in life that all along they have been food for wild beasts. They've just been nibbling away until there's nothing left.
Yeah.
And so... you know, seeing our absent brothers and sisters as objects of our witness, as we bring the love and joy and peace of Jesus to them, just as we would to somebody who's never confessed Jesus. That's part of our job, part of our calling as witnesses, and part of the joy Jesus is inviting us to. Because look at the joy he has when the lost sheep is returned. We should know that joy. We should share that joy with the people who are quote inactive members.
I think that people are often, afraid of these conversations. And so, Lassie, see if I can get it. Listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage is a handy tool for kind of girding up your loins to go have that conversation, right?
Yeah, and just guide you through that. And it's not at all intimidating if we go in love and we go as people of peace. In bringing that, remember that Lassie was formulated as an answer to 1 Peter 3:15 to always be ready to give a defense of the hope that's within you, but to do it with gentleness and respect.
Right, right.
And so we go to people in gentleness, respect. We go to them out of love and concern. We go to them with repentant hearts.
Right.
You know, calling them gently to repentance as well.
I love that idea. The mission of the church always starts with repentance.
Yeah. The whole life of a Christian. So that's one thing we can think about as Christ witnesses, not just the people out there in the world, but the people absent from the church as we go about that joyful task of sharing Jesus.